Welcome to
the Agape Love Show, a dialogue amongst friends.
And we are your co-hosts, Lena Turner
and Ariana Shears. So for those of you who are just tuning in, the Agape Love Show, a dialogue amongst friends, is a podcast centered around conflict resolution. And that is conflict resolution in any and every relationship that you can think of, whether it's friends, family, co-workers, you name it. We got the strategies, the tactics, and the tools to help you maneuver through.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Agape Love Show. So I have Lena here and Devonta here, and they're about to find out what this topic is about. Are you guys ready?
I am ready.
He pretty much already knows, because this is this is the continuum from a conversation we just had. And so the topic is startling stereotypes.
Startling stereotypes.
Yes. Like, and that. So it's fueling from a perception and a, what would you call it, Devonta? A preference that he has. Devonta does not date black women on purpose.
Okay.
So already, Lena. Lena and I are both black. For those of you who don't know, who have never seen us in person or been our Facebook page.
I'm actually half Haitian. Just kidding.
So we're going to dive right into it and see how she feels and how he feels about startling stereotypes. Stay tuned. Mm-hmm. So the first question that I asked Lena was, how do you feel about it? Mm-hmm. And your response was?
One, I was like, thank God I didn't take it personal. My heart was in a good place. And then my initial thought after that was like, dang, what happened? That was my first initial thought. And me and Devonta talked a little bit during the commercial break. And he shared that he didn't always feel this way. So I'm really intrigued to know, like, what happened?
Yeah,
what
me
transpired
too.
To bring on such a like standard within yourself, like, yeah, no, I'm done.
Yeah, what happened?
It's not that I'm all the way done. Mm-hmm. There's just like ups and downs with
truth,
black and white.
Mm-hmm. Truth.
And if you ask me, my opinion, there are more ups with white women than black women. Not all black women,
right.
Just some.
Because we had a conversation about that all situation. But what happened for you to make like a distinction? Like, you know what? Did you like date a white girl and then you're like, wait, I like this more? Or was it like after so many black women, you're like, I think I'm done?
I dated a white girl. And from that, there was a lot of fun. Like, it was different.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like me being with a black woman. And I felt the difference.
How did it make you feel as a black man being with a black woman?
It really don't faze me because I'm a man.
No, I mean, like, you said you felt different. Like, how did it feel?
What was the feeling?
Yeah.
Joy.
Wow.
So what about it made it so much more joyful for you?
Because she wasn't here for our first conversation, so she doesn't know the, like, specifics.
Yeah.
There's more to do with white women. Now, when I say that, you can do the same thing with black women.
Mm-hmm.
But it just depends on what type of black woman that is.
Truth.
Now, are we saying intimacy or
activities?
Yeah, like activities.
It's not about sex at all.
Okay. Yeah. Because before we were talking, you had mentioned, like, they like to go, you know, do stuff. They just like to be more involved and more engaged. But you didn't find that with black women.
No.
So, like, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, what type of activities?
Anything. For example, I can call you. I can say, let's go out. Mm-hmm. What are you going to say?
Where are we going?
There we go. If I call a white woman, I say, let's go out. She's going to have a list of things that we can do or give me suggestions.
So you like the fact that they already have things prepared?
Somewhat, yes.
This is interesting.
This is interesting.
Yeah, because my question would be, if you're asking me where we're going, where are we going? You asked me where we're going.
You did call.
Yeah.
It's not more about me asking you. I was more about me asking you, let's do something.
Oh, see, now rephrase the question to her. Rephrase the question to her and see what she says.
Because it's like, initially, I don't know if it's just like a man or woman, but I would think, like, if anyone calls and says, let's go do something, or I guess I forget how you said it at first.
Where we yeah.
You want to, it made me think like you already had something in mind.
Right.
When you called. I don't know if it was just the way you posed the question, or I don't know.
So rephrase it to her. I love this on the fly. Rephrase it to her.
I'm going to put it like this. Would you like to do something today?
Yeah.
What would you like to do?
I'd love to. It's a nice day out. We could do something outside. I usually like going to the movies, but I wouldn't want to on a day like this just because it's so nice out and like trying to enjoy this weather. So we can go downtown, really. I was thinking about
you love to go downtown.
The city, what was that? Like the park area?
Mm-hmm.
And hang out down there until we find something else that tickles our fancy.
Sounds fun.
Be my response.
So the thing that is interesting to me is that earlier, you mentioned that the girls that you know, describe the type of black women you don't like. Yes, this is where it is. Describe the type of black women you don't like.
A basic woman. And when I say basic, like a woman that don't know where she's going.
Mm.
There are a lot of lost females and there are a lot of lost men out here.
Truth.
And I don't want to find myself to have to help a woman find herself.
Because
that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to build you, mold you. I want you to be yourself.
Man, this is so interesting. Because usually I always hear the women saying that about the men.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe we're just meeting different people. But like a lot of times in the circles that I'm in, I always hear the women like, you know, I'm tired of the guys who, the same statement, but with guys.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't really ran across a lot of men who are running into the women who don't know where they're going. I'm typically seeing the other side of the coin.
And this is perfect because that's the part that I wanted to bring out in this conversation is that you're a product of your environment. And so me and her didn't grow up in the same place at all.
Yeah,
like we're from
different ends of the spectrum.
Different ends of the spectrum, yeah. But we still have the same common nalities when it comes to who, what, when, where, why, and everything. Mm-hmm. And so my pitch to you was maybe you're just around your environment too much. Maybe it's that you're in the same neighborhood seeing the same people and you didn't go those four streets over to see those other women.
Honestly, I've never ran... I'm telling you, Scout's honor, this is the first time I've ever met a guy who was saying that women don't know where they're going. I'm like, dang, I always know the women who do know where they're going and can't find the men that match that.
And I feel like a lot of women are lost because men make them lost.
Ooh, explain.
Like, if I sit here and play games with you, you have no choice but to play that game with me.
Or leave you.
Or leave me. And if you leave me, what happens? You're back in square one.
Which is what?
Starting all over.
But that's the thing. I think that's the issue with women. There shouldn't have to be a starting all over if you know who you are and what you're doing.
Because I don't really think it's a starting over.
Not
I look
at, all.
At it like, if I run across a guy and I know he's not it, then I'm moving on. And I'm still waiting for the one that I know that's going to compliment
a learning experience
that I have.
Yeah. But like, I think that's a testament to what you're saying. Like, women don't know who they are, but that's because they haven't had the experiences to find out who they are apart from a man yet. Some but I think that's women. A societal thing. I'm talking mostly only about the women that he's talking about. Yeah,
these women, man. I just want to gather them all up. Like,
if you ask me, if you ask me, a lot of it is because of their surroundings.
Correct.
If you grow up, see your mom struggling or.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to go three streets over.
Yeah.
All you know is your block.
Right.
So when you grow up, you're going to stay on that block.
Right.
You're only going to do what you know and what you're taught.
That's true. Okay.
And my belief, white women, they do more growing up to figure out who they are and what they want to be and what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not their fault. It's not black people's fault that they don't get the opportunities and chances to that white people have. It's just how society is.
I have something.
You go ahead, because I have a something else too, but go ahead.
Open me. Okay. So, given everything you said, I started thinking like, okay, this must be a man who's set on, you know, purpose, knows what he wants to do, has a pretty good, you know, foundational structure of where you want to go. And so my thought was, what if you are called to these women? And what if a part of your purpose really is to help them? And you just have not found the woman to compliment you to help you in that regard. Because if you continue to run across the same women, maybe you're trying to date them, but you're not supposed to be dating them. You're supposed to be helping them. And the woman that you're supposed to date is not them at all.
I mean, because like I said, I know who I am, mm-hmm. and I know what I know, mm-hmm. and I know I still have a lot to learn, mm-hmm. just to be a better man for myself. Mm-hmm. So me, I have no right to be here, sitting here, trying to be a teacher for someone that I'm trying to date and enjoy life with.
But that's what I'm saying.
What if you're not supposed to date them?
Maybe you're not supposed to date them. Because, like, sometimes we run across people and we get the intention of that
romantic
twisted. Mm-hmm. We turn it into something that it was never intended to be. A lot mm-hmm. of times when we don't know the purpose of something, we abuse it. And so it could be that, because I'm the type where I don't believe things just happen by chance. I think things happen on purpose. So if you're continuing to meet the same number of women or the same types, to me, it's happening on purpose to show you something deeper in it. Not so you can date them, so that you can help them. But I do think there's a female counterpart. Yes, got it. Do think there's a female counterpart out there, whether white, black, Hispanic, whatever, that's going to come alongside of you, if that is what it is, for you to help them. Because to me, it's something that you may feel, I could be wrong, but it seems like it's something that you kind of feel, in a way, kind of passionate about, even though it turned you off. But a lot of times, the things that like ruffle our feathers or like turn us the wrong way is the very thing we're called to help. Mm-hmm. That's why it affects us the way it does. Because like some things, I feel like if you're not called to them, you're not affected by it. Yeah. You may have some compassion. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's say like the homeless. There's a lot of people that are homeless, getting cold outside of the... If I see someone, I may give some money. Maybe I'll go give some blankets. But I know it doesn't affect my heart.
Yeah.
Now, these kids that I work with, I'd be upset, but I know I get upset about the things that they go through because I'm called to help them, you know. But let's say if they were grown men and I'm seeing run across the same man, and there's certain things about them turning me off, that's because it's not meant for me to date you. There's something in me that you can get for me, which actually I know a couple of men like that. Where the men, when I first encountered them, were looking at me like, oh, you know. And I was kind of looking like, oh, okay. But then after a while, I realized like, nah, this is not it.
It's not the purpose.
You're attracted to me, but only because there's something inside of me that's going to help you. Not for you to date me.
Yeah.
But by that time, I'm drained already.
Why?
And because I meet you. Mm-hmm. I don't know nothing about you. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi.
So how am I supposed to know that I am put here to help you? And teach you.
You wouldn't have known that before this conversation.
Exactly.
So, go ahead.
But it's something that you know before you ever encounter them. Mm-hmm. Like now, okay, let's talk present day. Now in the past, like, okay, let's say 4 years ago, I didn't really know that, you know. But here we are now. I know this in my heart to be true. So if I meet, let's say, over the next couple of months, I meet three different guys who all have the same issues. I'm coming into it already knowing. So after that first conversation and we're talking everything or a couple conversations, even if he's looking at me like, ooh, this could be something, I'm already knowing I'm only here to help you.
Ooh, and the beautiful thing is too, oh my gosh, I'm so excited because I can see this thing clearly. It's like you have a knowledge and understanding that black women need because mm-hmm. they want a strong black man. Mm-hmm. But if a strong black man like yourself is encountering these women and they don't know how to interact, they don't know, they're only used to what their environment taught them, get them, bleed them, mm-hmm. make babies with them, move on. Mm-hmm. Like, lock him down, trap him, do what you gotta do because you're not gonna find another one. Mm-hmm. And so if you can help women see that that's not all they're here for, then it'll take the strain off of other black men like yourself who are like, ah, washing my hands with it, that ain't what I'm trying to do. But then it'll also help build up black women who don't realize they're a turnoff. Because a lot of them might actually think like, that's how they have to be without understanding that that's not the case at all.
But some men are just like women.
Explain that.
I'm going to say probably about 50% of women mm-hmm. wake up and they're looking for a meal ticket.
Truth.
They're looking for somebody that's stable, established, head on their shoulders right. They don't have to put no work into.
Mm-hmm.
Men are like that too.
Right.
I don't want to, knowing me, that knowing that I'm stable and accomplished, that I don't want to have to go out there and meet someone and have to build them up.
Right.
Why should I have to work extra hard to build a woman that I want when I know I can just wake up
mm-hmm.
and go find me a woman just like me?
You totally can. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't have to be a particular race either.
In our reality, we all know there are more successful white women than black women.
Not exactly. Yeah. You have to look at the data because it's changing.
Yeah, it's changing
but,
a lot.
But that's why I said that it's the product of your environment. If you're around, you are the average of the five people closest to you. So if all the closest people to you are that homegirl down the street who has four kids now and she's 23, your cousin who has two kids and her baby daddy, and they are sometimes off and on, your mom who may have the same struggle, a sister who has a similar struggle, not all the way in it because y'all learn from your mom, and then you have a homeboy who also has a baby mama, but he's doing well. You have maybe two people, your mom and the homeboy, who are doing decent.
So with me being a black man, how do I get myself out of that situation?
What do you mean?
With a black woman, if I see all these other African-American people around me,
mm-hmm.
as close to me,
mm-hmm.
all I can do is fall into that situation.
Not
if I don't get away.
You got to go down there four blocks.
Exactly. So then, like, the thing is, because, like, for me, I have people around me. I think all the women in my family, up till me and my sister, had babies by the time that they were 21. And by a man that either they aren't with now or a man that they thought they were going to be with and not. And then my mom had my sister who she is married to that man now. So, but outside of that, no other woman didn't have a baby by 21. So it took for me to just make a decision that either I want what I see around me or I don't. And because I didn't want what I saw around me, it was up to me to then build my own story. Like, everybody has the power to build their own story, but it just depends on how bad you want that new story. Or if you feel like it's just, there's no other way. And then on top of that, because everything happens for a reason, you have to use your resources. So I used my love for music. I used my relationship with church. I used all the other friends I had around me who weren't necessarily there yet. Some of them did fall in the same traps, but I used all those experiences to help groom me. So now I see, well, if I make this decision, that's the outcome that I'm gonna have. But it was essentially up to me always. And then I had to have the willpower to be an example for others. So when I encounter people like yourself or other women who may have an opposing view, it's like, no, wait, I am the example. Just look at my life. I have no kids.
And I was going to say, with my experiences, the women that I've been around have all have a measure of success. You know, mm-hmm. I haven't really seen a lot of those women that are just kind of falling by the wayside, you mm-hmm. know. And then even my mom, I contribute her to being one of them because she was a single woman raising two kids, which she has a third now, my brother. Anyway. But I kind of saw her kind of pull herself up by her bootstraps, you know, and like she provided a great life for us. But for me, it wasn't enough. I mm-hmm. still wanted more. I still wanted better because my best friend at the time, her mother and her father, I think they're still married to this day. But I just saw their life, the people that they were around. And I was like, man, I could have that, you know. And so for me, it was motivation. And so with the environment that I was in, which wasn't horrible, you know, my mom moved us from the worst off place, but I really use that as motivation. And so that has driven me to contribute to a lot of the success that I have today, you know, mm-hmm. which, I mean, I've been in the military. I served as an officer in there. I'm a supervisor now. I don't have any kids. You know what I'm saying? But it's mm-hmm. like, I used all of that to grow past it. And it's placed me around other women who are successful, which there's a lot more that I know now than what I knew back then.
Right.
Like, a lot of my friends always ask me, how do you talk to white women?
Yeah, how do you talk to them?
If you ask me, it's easier than talking to an African-American woman.
Explain. Like, what the conversation is like.
Most white people, they're friendly.
Mm-hmm. That is a unique stereotype, but it is common.
And so it's easier to talk to them. They'll talk to you about anything,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the topic is.
Mm-hmm.
If I approach them, they'll talk to me. Even mm-hmm. if they're not interested, they'll still talk to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
African-American women, There you go, laugh.
Yeah. Because I'm picturing so many different circumstances.
If I approach her and she's not interested, she's going to let me know right off the bat.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
And that makes it harder for me to try to talk to black women when I know if I'm in a room, half black, half white. Mm-hmm. Me in my head, I know I have a better chance with the white women. Because I know even if they don't want me, they'll still talk to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that'll make me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instead of just entering the room, going and talking to a black woman, she's going to kill my spirit right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Have you had conversations with successful black women?
Can't recall.
When you enter into a room with better versions of a black woman, do you know how to interact with them?
Yes.
What does that conversation look like? And in the times that you have had them?
And it's the same conversation with a white woman.
So it seems like it's not a race thing. It's more of a mindset thing. You're attracted to a certain mindset.
No, because in my head, I know if I approach a white woman, 8 times out of 10, she's established. And there's not much for me to help build or help her out.
Cultivate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with a black woman, she may be successful, but at the end of the day, she still got 3 kids and still got Tyrone knocking on her door, giving her trouble. And I'm not in it.
Yeah.
Like, because once I see that, you go take care of Tyrone and I'm going to go take care of me.
It sounds like you kind of been hurt too.
By
my mom always asks me, "Why you don't date a black girl? I'm black." I'm like, "You're my mom." Like,
yeah, it just seemed like hurt with a
disappointment.
Yeah, and letdowns with the interaction with the black woman being strong right off the bat if they're not interested. You know, killing your spirit.
I've only had 2 real relationships in my whole lifetime. The first one, she was mixed. Her mom was white. Dad was black. My second was with my baby mom. She's white. So, in between all of that, it's just fun and games.
So, with the black women, it's not because the thing I can't get out of my head is you are what you attract. So, the black women that at one point in time you had attracted, what do you think attracted you to them or them to you?
If you ask me, us being on that same block and not going 4 blocks over.
Yeah.
So they have no choice but to sit here and talk to me or me sit here and talk to them because we won't go 4 blocks over and see who on that street.
Right.
It goes back to environment.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think you're around the different side of the successful black women. You don't have Tyrone knocking at the door.
Man, I'm telling you. And then, too, when you meet people who aren't like that, it opens your mind up to the diaspora of black people. And then too, not even saying that you have to be with or date a black woman at all, because at the end of the day, your preference is your preference. I would love to have any type of race of husband, because either way our babies are going to be cute, but let's be honest, the hair texture is going to be different if you go with someone who's a different race of yours. Not to say it'll be worse, because I'm black is black and I have a beautiful hair texture. So, but I'm just saying, like, of the really small things that people care about, I can see why people would be like, nope, I only want this kind of race because I only want this kind of problem. I understand that part. But at the same time, there's like a beauty of our culture because of what we've come from as a culture. So if anything, I think my heart's desire would be to like do what you can to build us up, because you see it and you don't like it. It's like you have the tools to change the people you interact with so that the next person will get a better version of that person, because they more than likely don't have the environment to cultivate them in that way. But then you're a part of their environment and you're not the same.
But I know that I don't want to be that guy to build a woman up, because I'm not perfect.
But you don't have to be.
So
you're going back to this perfection thing.
It's just that most of the women that I encounter are white. I don't be around a lot of African American women
anymore. Where do you find yourself usually?
What do you mean, where do I find myself?
Like, where are you finding these white women?
Bars, grocery stores, regular places. Mm-hmm. It's just my surroundings at where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Why do you feel like you have to be perfect in order to help or cultivate or help to build? Or even just come alongside?
Because the way I see it, who am I to be a bad person to try to help build you to be a good person?
Who said you're bad?
No, I'm not a bad person, but it's like, the way I said, you got to be perfect to try to help somebody out.
Stop it. Neither one of us are perfect. You see what kind of help we're trying to give you.
And you know what? I think that is a filter, too, that may be attracting you to the white culture.
Yeah.
That perfection piece. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, just listening, it's like you have this image, like, they're established, they're good. Mm-hmm. In a way, they're perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because you have this perfection, I'm not perfect. They are perfect. Let me gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
No one's perfect.
Mm. Did you say they're more perfect than black women, though? White women are?
The culture.
But ow! We gotcha!
The culture has more upsides than African American.
Do you acknowledge how or why that has happened, though?
Perfection.
No.
They put it on your people's back!
It's the filter of...
But at the same time, I can't do nothing about that.
Yes, you can.
How can I do something about that? By what? Stand with another black woman?
No, not even that. You can lend yourself over so that... Because here's the thing. The fact of the matter is in one of our... Sisters in Ministry, Christy Snelson, licensed counselor, she talked about how trauma travels 14 generations, right? Mm-hmm. And the 14 generations essentially goes back to slavery, right? And we're coming out of that in ways, but not everybody can or has the opportunity or the resources to see something plainly and choose the opposite or put the work in to be the opposite. So whether we like it or not, that's actually a conversation that's being had in the government now to just acknowledge and recognize that a major tragic moment happened for our entire culture, and it still has repercussions to this day. So we have to do what we can to be like, you know what, I see that you're struggling, let me help you up, because it obviously hasn't affected me in the way it's affected you, let me help you up.
And then you can do simple things, just a caveat off that, as a strong black man, when you encounter these women and you know, like, she ain't for me, just tell her something encouraging and keep it moving.
Boom.
That would make all the difference in the world.
But at the same time, I don't want to, if I know that I have to build someone, but I don't want
to
deal with
it. But no, we're not saying you got to talk to them.
It's like if you guys have a conversation, like,
let's say you meet a girl outside at the mail, at the mailbox. You go out, you meet her at the mailbox, and you're like, hey, you know, you look nice today. Or y'all just have a conversation, and she looking at you like, oh, hey, you just moved here. I never seen you before. And you're like, yeah, you know, I live upstairs. You kind of just, you know, brushing off because you're not, you know, interested. Mm-hmm. And then she keep at it like, you know, like, yeah, so, you know, you got any kids? Da-da-da. And you're like, yeah, no, you know, I got it, whatever. And then you ask her and she's like, yeah, I got two sons and, you know, or no, I got two sons and a daughter. And you're like, oh, okay, you know, that's great, whatever. But then right there, you're automatically turned off romantically in that moment. You can be like, yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, you know, I'm not really looking for nothing, but, you know, you're a very beautiful woman and I'm sure a strong man will be definitely interested in you. You know, right now I'm just, that's not where I'm at right now in life. I'm not looking for anything. But right there, you don't shoot her down like, nah, girl, you got way too much going on. I'm sure your baby daddy in the picture. You know what I'm saying?
In that moment. And that could be the end of it.
That's it.
That was a build right there, because a lot of black women who are in that place and struggling don't get that from black men. Mm-mm. The black men who were turned off by that, chunk the deuce. And it's like, if the black men are not building the black women, where does that leave the culture?
Yeah.
It's all, it ain't my responsibility. Well, if it's no one's responsibility and no one's going to do anything,
yeah,
we left off in a far better state.
Imagine if white people looked at you like you look at black women.
How do I look at black women? Because...
like they're beneath you.
No, I don't. I talk to black women. I will have a conversation with them. They speak to me. I'm not rude. I don't turn every black woman away. I will give you conversation. I'm not mean.
No, I didn't get that from you.
You're not mean. However,
I didn't get that.
They're not good enough to be with you.
I think it was just more
no one is
being turned off.
If you ask me, no one is really good enough to be with anyone. Two people have to put up with two people, because after so long, when you're with a person, they're going to do things you don't like. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to say, I'm just going to sweep that up under the rug and we're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you know when someone is really meant for you?
It depends on the effort and the work.
Well, to me, you have to know what it is that you're called to. You have to already come into it with an understanding within yourself of what you're called to. I know that there's a certain type of man that I'm called to based upon who I am as a woman. So I can already tell a lot of times right off the bat if this man is not meant for me. I know I'm not called to that because of where he's at. But there are certain men where I'm like, now that I can see. I don't know if he is or he's not. You know.
And what makes you say that about that man?
About something that I can see because of where he's at. His foundation, just where he's at the moment. And even if I can see some of the struggles or inconsistencies or whatever, but based upon what he's doing, what he knows about himself as far as purpose, what he's called to, those type of things are what attracts me to that man, you know.
I mean, because no one's perfect, like I said, and everyone has something to build from and gain from and uplift themselves. So like you said, it just depends on where that person is when you meet them. Because you never know. You can meet someone that's right at rock bottom. And you wouldn't know. You would not know. I got a buddy now. He been married 6 months. He called me the other day. He said, my wife in debt. I'm like, did you know about this? He said, no.
Jeez, Louise, ain't having the right conversation.
And for me, too. That's another thing, too. Because I approach the dating thing, I think, in a very unconventional way. I don't come into it, if I meet a guy, boom, we about to date. No, I'm looking for a friend first. Before, and I don't even really, to be honest, believe in dating. I believe in courting. By the time we get to the quote-unquote dating, where, like I said, I'm looking at it as courting, we're already knowing we're going to get married. So before we ever even get to that part, we're going to be friends first. And in that friendship, that's where I'm going to get to know those things, whether you're in debt or not, kids or not, background. You know what I'm saying? It's all going to be within the friendship.
But in our reality, that's what most guys want.
What?
A friend.
That's where I'm at.
Which
that's another thing that shows me. Like, I met a guy, not recently, a little while back. And we were talking. I gave him some conversation, you know. But then immediately, he started going intimately and sexually. So that let me know right there, we not even in the same place. You know what I'm saying? I'm not called to this. Because if I were to stay with that, now I got to do some building. Right. Now I got to do some teaching. Now I got to do some educating. Now I got to do some work. I'm not trying to do all that. Now, I didn't shoot him down. You know what I'm saying? I was encouraging. I was like, hey, you know, I just know where I'm at. This is not really what I'm looking for. And I still see him, you know, to this day. But, like, with the same advice we were given, and, like, I believe I did it in such a way where it's still a good rapport. When I see him, it's cool, you know. But I think he just knows, like, okay, she's not really trying to be on that. And that was just me being encouraging to him. But just based off those conversations where he took it, that showed me where he was already at. So if I meet a guy, you ain't even trying to approach me like that. You just on some friendship type stuff. I'm like, okay, that's going to get my eye. Because
yeah,
I can see, it shows me, or it's a good telltale sign of where your heart is at.
And then to piggyback on that from the original conversation, you weren't always like this. There was an opportunity that you had where you interacted with people that helped you see there's a different way to do this. You don't have to come into it romantically. Right. You don't have to come into it sexually. You can, like, put yourself on pause, work on you, and then start to open the idea of accepting more friends. But women, people don't always have that as an example, which is why I was saying to you, if you ever interact with a woman who shows you signs that are distasteful as a romantic partner for you, that's where you can come in and, you know, just shine some light as a friend. Like, hey, you know, this isn't really what I'm into.
Right.
However, just I want you friend. To know that there are certain things that you can build on where a man like me, if you're interested in a man like me, would approach you and see you as a worthy candidate to do life with.
That's building right there. But right there. I think a lot of times we skip steps. Mm-hmm. We jump straight from meeting to dating, bedroom, marriage. Dang, you in debt?
Or meeting, bedroom, dating, debt.
Meeting, bedroom. Now we jump it. Let's just be real. We go right in and it's like, this is how we keep getting it.
But honestly, though, I think that's the society period that we're in. Black, white, Mexican, whatever. It's not understanding that just because you may want to be in a relationship doesn't mean that every person is going to be that relationship. It could just be friendship, but I don't really think we know what that looks like.
Because people are not good here. Mm-hmm. See, when you're getting this together and you're in a certain place here, I'm already approaching it like that. I can already tell right off the bat. It was one guy I knew from jump. Like, bro, no, this is not it. He kept trying, kept persisting.
I met a
shoe store.
A girl.
No.
I met a girl, a white woman. We hung out once, and like 3 days later, she texted me and she told me, "Don't get attached."
Oh.
So what do you do when a person tells you something like that?
Depends. Were you still interested, or
what was the conversation like from jump?
Was it something that you did want to pursue? And did it catch you completely off guard? Were you seeing signs that maybe not?
It's not. It's someone I just met.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
See, I'm always intrigued to want to know.
Like, okay, where was, step by step, like, what happened? Where was it? What is, you know.
You're dealing with your own hurt. You know, that's where, to me, it depends upon. Now, it's going to be vital, the questions that you ask.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get attached. Okay, I'm not coming into it trying to get attached, but what made you say that?
Yeah, you know, like, and then don't be afraid to ask questions.
And that's what I asked. I said, why'd you say that? And she was like, where's she at right now? She's not trying to be with nobody. She just need a friend.
Boom. Okay. Like, yeah.
I told you in our first conversation, I don't have friends.
But earlier in this conversation, you said that sometimes men just want a friend.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
So what is it that you're
That's
looking
men,
for?
That's men, not me.
What is it that you're looking for, man? What do you want?
Tell the truth, I don't know. Because me, sometimes men get lonely too.
Mm-hmm.
Men just want company.
Mm-hmm.
Men just want somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I see it, sometimes when I do that, women take it the wrong way and try to take a step forward.
Did you tell them that in the beginning?
No.
Boundaries. But honestly, though, you're not the only one. Like, I think that fact alone, the just the companionship, because even the Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people do take that as the marriage route. And then he, of course, did create Eve so that Adam could have a companion, because he himself was like, hey, bro, this ain't shaking no more. I need something else. Mm-hmm. So
All these animals,
bro, I need something like me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when it comes to that, of course, like, there's something in you, like, innately. Like, it was built in you to have someone around. But until that someone comes around, friends. You know what I'm saying? And then also community, and then dealing with the whatever may be within you so that it's not going to look at it for people. But it's first, this is taken care of, so I'm cool. And then the other people will just be a compliment.
Ooh, to caveat that, I've read a quote today. Oh, man. I don't look it up, so I'm going to take a time. It said that desire cannot be disciplined. It must be fulfilled.
Yes.
So when I read that, I was like, wow, that is so good. So my question then would be, what are you feeling that loneliness with?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm coming to learn is that it's not good for man to be alone. I think men or women, you know, the Lord made us human beings to connect with one another. Mm-hmm. He didn't create us to be by ourselves, you know? So with that, we're going to experience that loneliness. But then the question becomes, what am I filling this loneliness with?
Yeah.
Because if I continue to try to fill the loneliness with people, I'm going to be let down all the time. You know, I just came out of that season where my expectations of trying to fill that void with people. So coming out of that, and the Lord revealed where that, I pretty much now understand the root of where that came from. So now that I understand the root of it, that set me free on one level. But now understanding, okay, I cannot try to fill this space with people. Mm-hmm. I have to be in a space where I'm good by myself and I'm not lonely. Mm-hmm. I can be alone, but I'm not lonely. Mm-hmm. To the point where I don't need friends. Of course, I want to have them. I want to be around other people. But because I'm over that place of being lonely, now I don't have to try to fill that space with anybody. It's already fulfilled.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of women take men loneliness for granted, or to take it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling lonely and I ask you to come over and be by my side, mm-hmm. I just want somebody by my side. But most women will look at it like, he's just trying to get in my pants.
Unless
or
you tell
what
him.
Is he
yeah. Because I was going to say motive is a real thing, you know? Because sometimes, like, I'll say even for me, there was a guy who was like, hey, let's you know, are you available? Let's chill. All right, cool. Great. And then over the chilling time, start getting a little close.
Netflix came on.
You know, reaching mm-hmm. that arm around. Like, start, you know, like, wait a second. Had you been more upfront and been like, hey, I am interested in you. Mm-hmm. I would like to see where this goes. Or even, like, the conversation, like, but it's just super bland and boring, and then all of a sudden, you know, woohoo! Like, wait a second.
At the same time, though, if I say, "Can you come over and chill with me, or come cuddle?" I shouldn't have to bring up sex, because if I bring up, say, I gotta let him know. If I bring up sex, that already let her know that he might be on something.
Cuddling lets her know that he might be on something.
No, not with me. But not see, all men are say. Like that.
But that's what I'm saying.
But if you say it, it messes up the moment.
No,
you
it doesn't.
But hold up. This is why friendship is vital.
Boom.
Because if you pause and you start off with friendship, then they get to know you.
They
so
already
they
know.
Can trust that when you say cuddle, that's all that you mean. Because now I know you. Mm-hmm. But when you skip the friendship part, it's harder for me to trust because I don't know you in that area. We skip that part. It just went to this.
How many male friends do you have?
Several.
Yeah.
Technically.
How many of them have you crossed the line with?
Zero.
Right.
Not one of them.
It's
zero.
All about your circle.
Zero.
Yes, you're a product me. Of your environment.
I feel like I don't have female friends. I don't have female friends because I don't want to run into that conflict.
But you don't have to. And then this is going back to, and I hate that we have to wrap this up. Yeah, you have to put yourself in because you seek what you see until you see what you've said. If you desire to have people around you who are just straight mutual, who are just platonic, who then you got to start building that around you, or with the people you already have who you haven't crossed that with, set those boundaries up. Because sometimes behaviors are learned. So if they don't know, like, oh yeah, Devontae, you know, he's just cool. He just likes to hang out or whatever. And then they start to experience you in that way. Now you've set up a beautiful boundary of how we interact. But if you do cross that line, now it's like, well, you can't be really mad at them because they're like, well, we crossed it. I mean, where do we go from here? And if we backtrack it, now we got another thing that we got to, you know, erase. But it's possible. You just have to build your circle. Not yeah. necessarily the people all the time, yeah. but just build your circle.
You need a better network of people.
That's it. That's
you need
all.
Good, strong, healthy people around you.
Yeah, not just women.
Yeah.
All around.
You need healthy people.
I have strong people.
Healthy.
But most of my friends, I'm 27.
Really?
Yeah, so most of my friends are like 35 and older.
Mm-hmm. 30, age ain't got nothing to do with it because we have some 40, 50-year-old people that we can sometimes be around. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And they still struggling with certain things because yeah. their circle is lacking. Age ain't got nothing to do with it. And we're some of the youngest people in our circles, some of the healthier too.
And it sounds like you're seeking companionship, but just don't know how to get there in a healthy way.
Yeah. Which is all right, because a lot of people don't know how.
Just with a white
companionship.
Woman.
Amen. All right. Well, this was an amazing episode. If we have a part two coming up, you will know. This was powerful and super exciting. Like, we had a really good, good conversation.
Yes.
We'll definitely have to have you on or some type of panel again. Yes. Thank you, Devontae. Yes.
Well, guys, we thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We hope that you really enjoyed it. I was just sitting here thinking, like, man, we're going to have to think of a name for the Agape Love Show people, a nickname like the AGLs, the Agapeers, the Lovers. I don't know. We'll come up with something. But thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate all the love, all the support. Don't stop sharing, commenting, liking, posting, all of that great things. And tune in for another episode of the Agape Love Show, a dialogue amongst friends. Thank you. See you guys next time.
If you like what you've been hearing with Agape Love Show, a dialogue amongst friends, why don't you become a sponsor? We actually are accepting sponsors for the show because, as you all know, we want people to understand and know what it is that you have to offer, and we want to advertise it. So, if you'd like to become a sponsor for the Agape Love Show, a dialogue amongst friends, please email agapeloveshow@gmail.com. We can't wait to talk to you.